evening and welcome to the 11th edition of Teach Me at the Scottish Learning Festival. I want to do some introductions to start with. Can I introduce Max Allen? Max, can you stand up please? Round of applause for Max. Max is writing her PhD on informal learning networks based around TeachMeet, as an example. So if you want to know anything about the history of TeachMeet, she's the woman to speak to, and how it's influenced around the world. She's an expert. Rhys, can you stand up, Rhys? Rhys is one of the sponsors for tonight, so we're not going to mention that, but we are going to mention that Rhys is looking for some primary skills to trial some software for progression and what's the word I'm looking for, Rhys?
Assessment tracking.
If you want to speak to Rhys, go and speak to him and say your school would be interested. I've looked at the software, and without selling it, it looks good. I've recommended it to my wife, who's a primary school teacher, and she's going to look at it. So I'm risking my life, basically, by saying that. Or some other part of my anatomy, maybe, is being put at risk at that point. But I recommend it. So speak to Rhys, and thank you to Rhys. The last person I want to thank is Andy Nagle. Now, those of you who don't know, this wasn't organised 3 weeks ago. There was nobody stepping forward to take it. And I put the message out on Twitter, let's have a teach me. No venue, nothing to be done, what we're going to do. Not a clue. Within 2 days, Andy phoned me and said, have you got somewhere for your teach me? No. We have hired a room, we've paid for some drinks, and, sorry, some refreshments, Microsoft, and we're paying for some food. Would you like this? What do you think I said immediately before he finished the sentence? Yes! So a huge thank you to Andy. And he happens to work for Microsoft, so we'll clap them, okay? But thank you, Andy. And it's his personal credit card that's behind the bar. So get to it. Get to it. I myself can't, I'm driving home tonight, so I can't actually even have a drink, but tear it. You love it, who said that? He's already having yours. This is going to be a jointly presented. So the man in the tie, because he's actually working today, is Drew Burrett. My name is Ian Stewart. My name is Ian Stewart. Now, technically, I should be up here. I should be organising this. And one of the challenges you have is, who's going to be organising it next year? Yeah, okay. It's recorded as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so who's going to organise it next year? And if you feel you want to get involved and get one organised for the Scottish Learning Festival or whatever, speak to loads of people who will help you. If I could do this in 3 weeks with Drew's help, anybody could do anything. Okay, so it's really about, yes, it's worth doing. So getting involved is a really important thing. First thing I want to do is I want everybody standing up. Standing up. Now, this won't work in the video, sorry guys, but we're going to form a tribe here. Put your pockets down, put your glasses down. You are going to find someone you are going to play rock, paper, scissors with. Well, at that point, whoever loses becomes the supporter. The winner has to go and find the next winner and a rock, paper, scissors. And you're going to form a new team, and you're going to be chanting for your new champion. You're going to be supporting them. And I want to hear it loud. I have checked. There's nothing going on in either room. I want you to be really loud, and I want you to be cheering your new champion until we're down to the final two.
Yeah.
Okay? And you get active, get round the room. So let's go. Rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, scissors. Looking for a fighter! do? Strangers in this room, we are all equals, we've all made a fool of ourselves equally. But that's a great leveller. It's like getting things wrong and admitting we got them wrong. That's a powerful question. So let's get started with our first selection, our first talk. I've called you out this one.
That's right, what do you want?
Let's go for a 7. Let's get it off with. Feels like Crystal Waze is back in it. Let's go for a 7. <Yes. laughs> Let's go for a 7.
You're likening yourself to
Richard Ayoade.
Can you tell with the hairstyle?
Yeah.
Can't you? Here's what you could have. You've got to set the really slow speed.
Well, it's got about 5 PowerPoints open in the background.
But who is that? Glasgow Stensky! Welcome home!
You had a video?
Yes.
So you're going to get this.
We videoed the PowerPoints, so we'd stay on time. But Alex has told us because she's already had like one glass of wine, now she might like eat into my time. So
if she interrupts,
so there's like no going back and forth in slides. So if the image changes, you know we're out. Right, okay.
What's running
here? Yeah.
Right.
So we are
the STEM
Glasgow. So we're the STEM Glasgow team. We are one person short, as Mark is not feeling very well today. He's the principal officer for STEM for Glasgow. This is Hannah, she's the STEM development officer, and I am Alex, the primary science development officer for Glasgow. And we are kind of at the moment being a bit of the Twitter wars in terms of like that's how we're starting to go out there, but there's only 3 of us for the whole of the council, and our main aim is to kind of go into all the primary schools and the secondary schools.
Get
and
sport. Sorry, See? We need to move on. Right, so I'm going to give you a wee bit of information about the Aspires data. This was a big research project done by King's College London, and they've been tracking pupils for about 15 years, and they found that even though they're really interested in STEM and they really think it's valuable work, hardly anyone aspires to actually be a scientist. And they found that it's because of these 4 reasons. But really, we in Glasgow are kind of focusing on the first one, which is science capital and family habitus. For anyone that doesn't know what that is, it's people in your family with STEM-related backgrounds, and also this kind of idea of, like, what kind of jobs do we end up in? And a lot of the ones in Glasgow are not STEM-related ones. So we collected some data from Glasgow, and we found that in schools, they're really good at teaching maths and science, but confidence in technologies is really, really
done.
Low.
The RAISE programme is the new initiative from Education Scotland, which is funded by the Wood Foundation. There are is 10 pilot authorities, and there has been 10 primary science development officers appointed at, which I am one of them. Part of that will be working with the Wood Foundation and Education Scotland and all the RAISE authorities to kind of develop confidence in science. It is science, but in Glasgow we're looking at it as in STEM. And there's funding and things there for different things as well for that. So lots of projects will run under that, and one of them is the primary STEM leaders in Glasgow. We're looking to appoint, it's not an actual job, 30 STEM leaders from across the city, from their schools, who go back and be a bit of a, like, almost a bit of like a challenge leader in their school. Sorry, go with me again.
Yes,
ECHA, we did a competition last year when the European Climate Change Adaptation Conference was in Glasgow. And part of that, Hannah devised some challenges, because she was in post at the time, that our upper primaries and lower secondaries took part in. They went to the city chambers, they presented their solutions, and it was partly based on the east end of the city, the Glasgow Harbour and the city centre and flood prevention problems. All these will appear on the line as well.
Okay, straight into my timer. We're also running a 3D printing programme with our early years primary and secondary groups. So we're doing it in clusters, so learning communities will all be given a 3D printer for up to 6 weeks, and we'll compete in complete different challenges. One of the challenges is actually to create a Christmas bauble, which represents your local community, that will be hung on the George Square Christmas tree this year. and they cover the majority of the technical E's and O's.
We're also doing a lot of partnership working. Glasgow Championships are obviously coming up, and we're using it as a context for things as well. Code clubs, Morgan Stanley volunteers are currently supporting our code clubs in some schools. We're looking to put that out to most of our schools. Leaders of Learning, we've recently collaborated on a resource with them for second level for World Space Week, which is on the 4th of, starts on the 4th of October. Again, that will appear on our website. It's open to everyone to use. We also have lots of different things.
Mid-November, we're actually running a massive STEM Careers Festival at the Science Centre, but this isn't your ordinary Careers Festival. This isn't just going to be people there at stands that you can go over and get pamphlets from, because that's not really that engaging. Instead, we've got careers workshops going on, we've got science shows, we do have the stands as well, and on top of that, the Thursday, the second day of it, is all going to be about cyber security, and we expect about 3,000 pupils to go from S2 and 3.
Also, in terms of I Love STEM, we have February the 14th, Valentine's Day, hence why we're I Love STEM. We will hold a Glasgow citywide INSET Day, so all Glasgow teachers will be involved in some way or another. Digital learning will be a focus as well, but STEM will also be a focus. One of the parts of the days will be bringing clusters together so they can plan for 2018-2019 and how they're going to do that together with their primaries and secondaries and have like challenges and all be in the diary, so it's definitely happening. And there will also be some experiential learning for all staff teachers, which again will appear on the website.
Okay. At the end of the year, we also want to run Glasgow's first school hackathon. And for anyone that doesn't know what hackathon is, it's taking products and services that already exist and adapting them to kind of suit the needs of all users. So we are actually, we've linked up with the 2018 championships, the European championships for this, and pupils from secondary are going to look at services and actually make accessibility and inclusion a wee bit better for athletes and participants of the games.
Oh,
we got better on time there, yeah. this me as well. We also have an e-bulletin that is going to be starting this week and will be sent out every 3 weeks. It's going to have a showcase your talent so we can actually showcase good practice from schools. We're also set up so we have a career STEM of the month, STEM career of the month. People sent in their wee bios about themselves, only personal stories and photographs. We've got events, national and citywide, and we've also got STEM opportunities for teachers to take advantage of and whole schools to take advantage of as well. And you can sign up to that and get that posted to you every 3 weeks.
Also, on the back of that, we're really punting our Twitter page.
We love
a Bitmoji and we love a bit of a cartoon. This week's National Coding Week, so this week we've been putting up a coding challenge every day, which you'll see up there that anyone can take part in. They can be printed, I think someone printed one off today and completed it today. Maths Week Scotland, we kind of promoted that as well. We are looking to offer as many of these things as possible because, especially in secondary school, it's really accessible for children and their passion. So if you haven't already followed us, please do. And if you want to tag us in anything, the handle is at STEM Glasgow and the hashtag is STEM Glasgow. And if you want to get in contact with us or anything, Twitter's our best way because all three of us have it on our phone. We all share responsibility of that. So we've kind of been hammering the students this week in terms of like, please come and
follow us and get resources.
And also we'll be putting links up of resources, and the Glasgow resources are available to everybody.
You're about to see, done quite well in time here, can I call
it?
This is going to be our STEM website. It's not launched yet, it's probably going to launch at the end of the month. But what we have is a variety of things on it, including monthly challenges and under the microscope, which will actually look at careers based on the challenge of that month. Do you want to take over that wee bit?
Well,
I thought we were sharing this, but
obviously
not. Resources, okay. The resources will be challenges for you, classroom and home, because we really want to get families engaged, and also be a get involved section, which tells you trips that are going on, case studies of things that worked really well, and also different news wee bit snippets from around the city.
We're also looking for feedback and resources, so see something works really, really well, you use it, and it's open, as we said, it's not just Glasgow schools. We really, really appreciate the feedback because sometimes you're like, oh, this, we think this is really good, but actually that might not have worked in your class, or maybe ASN or all different types of things. We are looking for feedback of what type of things we could provide for you.
And that's us in a nutshell, I suppose. So thank you. Yeah.
Bit of feedback from the feed coming across very well. But if you could project, now the reason I'm so passionate about the online feed, some of you know I lived 2.5 hours on a ferry to an island. So I used to sit going, there's something there I want to get involved in. So there's actually quite a few people answering questions, pulling in here. So if we can project to the microphone, that would be really good. Apparently the video's coming across very well. Even I'm looking good, which is ridiculous. Absolutely. It must be a special camera.
It's a filter.
It's a filter. I'm sure it'd make me lose weight. That's the thing I would love.
Should we go for a 2 minute?
2 minutes up. Who's up next?
We go faster now. It's a video.
It's a video. Right.
Thanks.
Toby.
I'll be Max if you're
over the weekend.
A different conversation. Hello. Who went out the first round of the scissor paper stone? Sorry. Who went out? Yes, I did as well. So no, we're in it together. Well, I've got. I'm not going to move around. I've got two minutes. So my name's Toby. I work with the John Muir Award, but I'm here on behalf of the Awards Network, which is the National Network of Youth Achievement Awards. We're all busy. There's loads of awards out there. So what we try and do is we just put all the awards in one easy place. I think we have got a web. Address as well, maybe not, but it's awardsnetwork.org. We have a new website this summer that's just gone out, so you can search for your award. We also, if you're a bit of into old school and maybe you've got pupils or you've got colleagues that actually respond really well to having something in their hands, this is hot off the press, only came out last week. I have a box full of them and you can take away amazing things. This is the one-stop shop to Youth Achievement Awards in Scotland. So there's a copy here for everyone. The final thing that I have is that if some of you are sat there, quite happy and reasonably smug in the fact that you know what Youth Achievement Awards is all about, you use them and you value them, then we have launched a brand new campaign called Awards Aware, which is all about raising the awareness of the value of Youth Achievement Awards, both for teachers, for pupils, for parents, but most importantly for employers as well. So if you are already involved, and you value it, then please do pledge on the Awards Network website, Awards Aware, and let's get some momentum behind that. And I have copies of this for everyone before you leave as well. Okay, that's me. 2 minutes. Good stuff.
So I should just check. Some of you might have noticed that I had a bloody clue where your presentation was. Did you send me a presentation?
I did.
At this stage, I should blame Glow. And Google, because between the two of them, I have no idea. But I'm really, really terribly sorry.
We're not blaming Microsoft.
It was fantastic.
But actually, Teach Meets are not about slick presentation, as you may have noticed. It's about energy and fun.
That's why I was
getting here. Information. And actually, there's quite a few people on the feed, both on YouTube and Twitter, who are asking for what's that address again. So it might be quite useful just to pop up there and write it in.
Good stuff, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Go for another 7 minute, or?
What time is it? 20 past 6. Yeah, go for a 7 minute to get it down to 30:30. For those of you who have not used these tools, these randomizer tools, actually, here's a question. Who comes up? Janine White. See, while Janine's coming up, who's never been to a Teach Meet before?
Me.
Oh, yes! Teach Meet virgin hits it.
Please have my presentation.
So, sorry, can you raise hands again? I was too excited there. Never been to a Teach Meet before? Can I just make this clear? The first 4 Teach Meets I went to, my mate never came up. So you are unbelievably lucky, or unlucky, I'm not quite sure which. But it took me 4 times before it even if he listened to it. For those who don't know, this is Office 365.
Yeah, thank you. And I haven't been clever enough to time up my presentation, so if someone could maybe give me a 5 minute warning, because there's a video at the end of my slides that I would really like you to see. Perfect. I can handle that, I have my reflexes. Okay, so I'm going to talk about something maybe a little bit simpler and maybe something that people have heard of before, but it's a professional inquiry that I got involved in last year on e-readers and how we could use them to create equity in the classroom. The reason I became interested in this, if you just want to pop on the next slide for me, magic. or not. Okay, we'll just go with it anyway. The reason I got involved in this is we had some feedback from our pupils that they weren't having their additional arrangements in class to practice with before assessments. They were being removed from class to go and do assessments with a reader or with ICT or with a prompt. And to me, that just struck me as maybe not being equitable, and maybe it would be better for them to be in the classroom and actually receiving their learning there. And having lots of practice with these additional arrangements before they got to the final exam. So I looked at all of the kind of statistics, if you like. We have the same as every other school in Scotland. We've got about 10% of our cohort who access additional arrangements. What that meant on the ground for me was on the day of our National 5 English prelim, we had 27 young people who needed a reader. We don't have 27 spare adults in school who can go and read for children. So the way around that was give kids an e-reader. Let them practice with it all year, let them develop the skills all year, and let them use it in class so that on the day of the exam they're feeling really comfortable with it and they feel confident going forward and they become more independent. But you can't just jump straight into e-readers, it's a wee bit more complicated than that. So for our pilot, next slide, maybe, what we decided to do was train the parents, first of all, bring them in with their kids, show them how to access an e-reader. Microsoft is fantastic because it's got this all built into Microsoft Word, so it's really easy to switch on the speak function. Falkirk Council, where I work, is also fantastic because through Glow we've got free access to a full Microsoft package, so the kids can access Word at home. So you're giving kids software for free. Kids who rely on ICT for their exams mostly have a laptop at home that they can use for free that's given to them by the council. And if they don't have it, then I purchased 14 for my school anyway. So we have ones that we can lend them to practice with if they need to at home, and they can bring back in and we can keep track of. So we trained the kids, trained the parents, trained the teachers, kept that training going all year because we ran supported study after school. And that meant that come exam time, the kids were really confident in using the technology. Did we have any trouble? Let's have a wee look at how we evaluated it after the prelim. Of course we did. It's computers. You're always going to have blips, yeah? So we had some issues with the hardware. Some of the computers, the volume wasn't actually a function that the kids could access. That was a really silly problem to have, you know, not being able to turn up the volume on your computer. It just meant a conversation to the ICT team at the council, and that was fixed, and the kids could then all access it on their laptops, on the computer, and we were good to go. What was the other issue? We had digital question papers from SQA. Some of the formatting on them this year gave us real problems. PDFs from SQA had boxes where the text would just disappear off the screen and the kids didn't know how to get it back. What was the solution? We used Word because the kids were comfortable with that. They knew how to operate it. I knew how to operate it. So we just found solutions on the day of the exam that worked for us. Obviously, following the prelim, we were in a much better position for the final exam to actually be able to warn the kids beforehand if your text disappears. Don't worry about it, we're there, we'll fix it. Everyone was really calm, very assured, so we felt it was successful. Okay, the figure at the bottom, I'll talk about that while you flick on, that's fine. We had three digital question papers in 2015-16, three pupils using digital question papers. We had 82 this year. So the need in our school didn't change. The confidence of the kids in using that digital question paper as an arrangement instead of relying on a human being is what changed. So our kids became more independent. They were using their readers at home to study. They were using their readers in class to learn. They were completing their unit assessments in class with the arrangement in place using that. So they felt much more skilled in how to help themselves. Can we flip one? Oh, sorry, we'll stay on that one. We've already gone on. So our second cycle after evaluating after the prelim, after looking at maybe software issues, hardware issues, was rolling this out across the whole school. So we've offered more training to our full staff. We have invited parents back in for supported study. We've got a session in 2 weeks' time. For our younger cohort, because they weren't trained last year, we focused on fourth, fifth and sixth year. So our younger pupils are now being trained. And what that means is our pupils in my school are benefiting from really consistent support because we are not having to pull SFLAs out of a junior class when it comes to exam time. We are having kids with one SFLA, 10 of them in the room, accessing their support for the exam independently. So we are able to have more consistent support for our junior classes and not pull that support during our exam time. It means that our parents are feeling more skilled and able to help their children at home. Because before, kids were going home with copious amounts of notes at higher and the parents were having to help them read through that or sift through it. And the way I put it across to our teachers, because there were some nerves, and you'll see that in the wee short video at the end, if your kids are spending all of their time in your class trying to read the paper notes, trying to decipher the text that's in front of them into something meaningful, just for the instruction or the question, when are they getting the time to do the complicated thinking that's needed at NAT 5 and NAT higher? When are kids actually thinking about the concepts that you're trying to teach them? Because for a lot of young people, they're still trying to figure out the question by the time your other learners have moved on and they're actually working out the answer. So for us, the massive benefit is that kids are engaging with that. Pop on to the next one. Bab.
This is okay. Voice control.
It's great. I know. I thought I had a clicker, but hey-ho. So we've got better capacity in our pupils in terms of when they leave us. So not just in the class for their learning, but going home and being able to access their notes. Our teachers are now using drop boxes that the pupils can access. So if they want their course notes electronically, they're there and they're available. Some teachers are using OneNote, some teachers are using Yammer, and some teachers are using Seesaw, which is a new app I hadn't heard of until just 2 weeks ago. You're a Seesaw, yes. Fabulous app. You can leave voice notes for your kids rather than giving them more writing. Really love it. So our teachers are able to use drop boxes to share electronic resources, and the kids are able to pick them up at home and engage with them. So that's been fantastic for us. More importantly, our kids are feeling ready for the world beyond school. They're feeling ready for college. They're ready for university because they know they're not going to be relying on a human person reading to them. They can access it themselves. Thank you. Okay, can we pop on to our video? Excellent. So rather than me singing how wonderful it is, here are some of our pupils and staff who've been using the e-readers. Maybe. Okay, I'll summarise. I've watched it many times, so I'll summarise and I'll make it available to anyone who needs it later. The first young lady who was there was going to say that e-readers are absolutely wonderful. they're fantastic. She uses them at home for her homework because there's not always someone available at home to read for her. So that's allowing her to access her homework. Second young person who was on there.
Oh, there's a Taylor. Yeah. You've got to finish off as quick
as possible. Very, very, very quick. Teacher said it was really tricky to get to know how to use it, but now that they've had training and they know how to work it, it's excellent because they have confidence that the children are going home and going over their homework and going over the materials they learned in class.
Wait! That's how you do it. First time, stood up, did it, and right up at the end. One thing I really want to push on after that. The Call Scotland voice, the Scottish accent, also makes a huge difference. Completely free to education. And apparently there's another Scottish one that's a Glasgow one that swears at you when you get it wrong. No, maybe I'm wrong. It could be just me, sorry. It's a fantastic... The use of these technologies to support learning becomes vital. That figure of 3 to 82.
Yes.
That's quite a figure. That's quite a figure. Okay, please take notes and ask questions. Grab these people, speak to them. It's amazing. This is what Teach Me is about. It's about finding things that are happening. You go, I didn't know about that. I need to find out more. That's what it's about.
Yep.
2 minutes, sir?
Yep.
Oh, I don't know. What do you think? Hands together for George Sexton! The reason I was being a wee bit cheeky is me and George worked together for 2 years.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Do you want your
login? Yes, please. Now, I will point out the T-shirt. You know those, if anybody's on the Glow Network or the Yammer, who's here has been on that, been onto the groups? Only one. There are 50,000 users out there. John is one of the moderators who has to get through to speak to every child very, very patiently to go, no, it's not a good idea to put your telephone number in. Can you tell me what school you're in? And which, so I can speak to your teacher. Very, incredibly impressive the way it keeps going. I would have run out of patience long ago and had sent an AK-47 into a school. That isn't recorded on, no.
Sorry, I really should have thought this through, shouldn't I?
It's a Teach Me. Why do you think things through?
I don't know. two bottles of wine. you take the man out of a shop.
Someone has actually failed to, could make it tonight, and she was going to raise something, and it's something called Perigew Muckle. Yeah. Who knows what muckle is? Good Scottish word. What does it mean? Let's translate in a good Scots word. Big. Perigew Big in Fife is happening. Who knows about it? Do you want to share what the where it is and what time it's happening?
It's the 11th of November.
11th of November? Leavenmouth Secondary School in Fife. So it's an excellent event if you want to do that. Perigew is digging deeper, taking longer, is related to teach meets. They work well together. So there's another opportunity for you.
Thank you for waffling here.
You know I can do that, John, you know.
This is actually very, very apt following on from your presentation. I've lost.
John, I encourage you to get into the middle.
I'm just going to show you how to access. I can't because I need...
I'll do your bidding. Turn the camera, or would you want the screen?
No, turn the camera. Well, the screen would probably be better, actually.
Okay, I'll leave it on the screen.
Okay. This is this wee nugget that's available through Glow 0365, and it's the immersive reader, it's the e-reader. Just showing you how
these... appropriate.
Yeah, I know. You always think it was planned, wouldn't you? I can take it from me, it wasn't. I've just got a quick link here within my RM lunch pad to a document that is fairly innocuous, just to show you how easy to access it is. If it's a digitised resource, Word, PowerPoint, this is accessible totally online. Just talking you through the stages, if I can remember them correctly. You go into your view. Waiting up early gig of doom seems to be my...
It's one of the rules of demonstrating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Who here has had this? Yeah, it's... If you've got any sympathy, John, it's here.
Patient. No, it's fine. I'm quite happy with it. Just to let you know what this does, and again, it's following on from you. For me, it almost allows the learner to self-differentiate how they access their learning. Not only how, but when they access their learning. It just opens up so many different possibilities. Unfortunately, currently, we don't have any sort of Scottish, we certainly don't have a Glasgow voice on it, but there is some nice wee tools on it. So to get to that, so I went to View, Immersive Reader, again, probably written in the whirligig of doom. There we go. I think this is just a wee exceptional nugget. The history of me as a maths teacher, things to this were totally out there. I never really paid much attention to them. Now it's becoming a far more big part of and how we access it. And here we go, hopefully. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Talk amongst yourselves. Not really, because when it comes on, it'll be such a small speaker.
Be secure. Always keep your Glow password to yourself. Always sign out of Glow when no longer using it.
Okay, they're basically the Glow community rules. So you've got the e-reader effect, which I think is quite awesome. But you've also got things that you can do with text size. So accessibility, for those that are... you've got some sort of visual impairment, etc. Is there as well, easily enough. Again, this is not the teacher doing this. This is not the teacher setting up. This is the Word document. This is a PowerPoint. This is just normal teaching resources, accessible by the kids. I'm ignoring that.
Get over.
You can increase work spacing. You can make. I've been assured that these are two more. Accessible font sizes. You can do nice wee things like that that change the background to the colour. I'm sorry, the learner can change that. Barbara, can you tell me what a syllable it is? I'm the faintest, I'm trying to remember. But you can start doing things like highlighting your nouns, highlighting your verbs, highlighting your adjectives. Adjectives is a describing word, I do remember that. You tell them as a child. And you can then start to focus on words, lines. I think it's just a wee amazing little tool that's buried somewhere in the background, and if you don't know it's there, you don't know it's there. You now know it's there. Spread the word and make our learning accessible to our young learners.
Those two talks, how well do they articulate? That's the serendipitous. Is that a good word? Is that a word?
Just serendipitous.
Thank you. Those of you who don't know, this is Barbara, who teaches English, but she's Dutch. And she's just corrected my English. So what does that make me? I'm not quite sure. Pay government. We're going to have some food at 7 o'clock, so let's have another 7 minutes. We're having food, we're going to set one question, so I'm going to set the question now while Hazel gets ready. If you find people, amazingly enough, while you're having some food, not speak over the top of them and splatter the food into them, which I will do, I know that, is to, what one thing would you change in education? You can make it Scottish education, you can make it school education, you can make it universal, whatever it is, but I want you to find one other person who agrees with you, or and then you tweet it with a hashtag and we'll start seeing the gathering in. Those online, you will be asked to do exactly the same thing. One thing that would change in Scottish education. They're laughing at me because I'm now pointing at a little tin can and speaking, which is very odd. So one thing you would change, only one. I know some of you out there would add a list. But actually, Paul Cochran's here, so that might change.
I'm just amazed it's a tin can you're talking
to. Haven't touched them since the 80s.
Hashtag
TNSLF17, Teach Me Scottish Learning Festival 17 is the hashtag. One thing you would change about Scottish education. The one thing right now is Drew. I would change Drew.
No, listening to you.
So, how do we think about that just now? And we'll kind of review those. You feel the pressure?
You know, it's just normal life.
It's normal life. It's not. That's a very good point. It is normal life.
I can start talking then. You can.
That's all right. Just.
My goodness, this is safe and secure.
Now you need to go to try, because there's less different. Go to that one, the parent one, for parents. No, not that one. Yes, the other way.
As you can see, Teach Me is not about smooth presentation.
It's about teaching drone.
It's about teaching. It's all a learning experience for us all.
I am a game to make Ian look good.
And you are. We have, how many people do we have? We have 11 people watching online from around the world.
Really?
Yeah.
No pressure.
There's more in the room, that's fine.
I know, but room people I can cope with.
Right, let's get you started properly. Big round of
applause
for Hazel.
Yeah. Was it something
else? No, still here. Go,
go.
Right, but what I will tell you just now, my name is Hazel Sim. I am deputy at Langfold Primary and LCR in the Drum up in Glasgow. And I am also a parent of a child with ASD. So I'm here to talk to you not only from a teacher perspective, but also from a parent perspective. Now, tell me if this is going to work.
Maybe.
Nah, just move on yourself then.
Nope.
Okay, my daughter, who's about to come up in a second, came into my life 9 years ago, and from that point on, my little daughter changed everything. She was born with metopic cranial synostosis, which is basically the premature fusion of the sutures at the front of your forehead. And this is her at 8 months. She had a permanent furrowed brow. Trust me, it was not nice. Do you want to go on? We were told when she was 12 weeks old that at a year old she would need corrective surgery to basically take her skull apart, rebuild it, put it back together, and that's her at a year old in the hospital and just immediately after her surgery. It was one of the most traumatic things I've ever gone through as a parent, never mind anything else. Of course, you go into Dr. Google, you start looking things up, and at that point I discovered there was possible links between the metopic cranial synostosis and autism, and it all sat there in the back of my head. So, post-surgery elation, I was delighted I finally got that horrible year out of my life, and then the terrible twos hit. I've got an older child, I knew what it was about, but when she went to nursery, that was the first time that I got the actual confirmation that things just weren't going the way that they should have been. Deep down though, I did always know, because I had this thing from when she was 12 weeks old in Dr. Google. From there, there was stress, there was worry, there was grief, because actually I was realising my wee girl wasn't going to be the wee girl that I was hoping that she would be initially. And that did have an impact on my relationships growing up with them at home and out with. I felt really isolated and I felt really anxious, and it can still bother me at times because of the things that my daughter's going through. So, this is her, a couple of years ago with her older brother. She started in Carlibar Communication Centre, which is based in Barrhead. It's an East Renfrewshire based school. And she had a split placement between that and her mainstream. We were referred to CAMHS, and at age 5 and a half, she had a formal diagnosis of ESD. Change of provision, when she was 7, she'd been in her mainstream for 2 years, and it just wasn't working out the same way that I'd hoped it would do. So we put her to Calibar full time. So she was in the CCC in Calibar, but also able to access mainstream. And I found for us that worked the best because she had the opportunity. She only had one gym hall to figure out, one set of staff. Everybody knew her and her needs were met really well and still are. So she's a wee reader. She's been reading since she was 3 years old. In fact, beyond below that, when she could point to the baby wipes and tell me it said Tesco on them. Didn't believe it, but she is, and that's what she excels in, and that's what we celebrate. So, thoughts and emotions. How do I feel? Well, sometimes that's exactly how I feel. Between my school life of managing autism-based LCR and coming home and having exactly the same. There you go. It can be a whirlpool of emotions, and it's just one after another here. This is not what I expected. As I said, I did go through a period of grieving, and I don't know what I was expecting, really, but a healthy, happy wee girl. I do have that, and I need to remember that sometimes. But things like, will she ever meet anybody? Is she going to get a job? Am I going to have her in my house forever? Is her behaviour ever going to ever get better? Monday, that dreaded email came from the school. Oh, she's bitten somebody in the gym hall because they hit her with a basketball and she reacted by biting them. Anyway, hey-ho. How will I cope if I get another phone call? I'm glad to say I don't get them so much now. We do get emails, but that's our choice. I want to know what's going on at school. Is she safe at school? In Carlibar, absolutely, she's 110% safe. They've got nice secure corridors. I know she's not going to run out anywhere. Will she ever eat normally anything other than pasta? I'm the only parent that goes to McDonald's and orders a pasta-based meal. Oh no, they don't do them. I can't feed her there. Do people like her? That really worries me. I worry that she's got not really that many friends, and the people that she does mix with, well, what are they actually thinking? Because I know how we can be as adults, so what are the kids actually thinking? And will she have any other friends? A million little different thoughts whirling around every day. So, as parents, now, I'm part of a East Renfrewshire Action Group. We support parents going through autism, or additional support needs in general, to be fair. And this is some of the things that they've said to me about how they're feeling and they want you as practitioners to know about. Stress, worry, grief, lack of sleep. Lack of support, they feel isolated, that you have to fight for every single thing.
finances can be a strong worry of finances if you're not able to work to support your wee one, and there are strong links with post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety and depression. So, life for an ISN family to consider. Spectrum is varied. A successful strategy for one won't necessarily work for another, and we're all different. Please offer non-judgmental support. Look beyond the surface. When your wee one comes in the morning and they're absolutely stressed out of their box, I wonder what's going on before they've even set through the door of the school. Appropriate methods of communication to use with us. As I've said, for me, email works for me the best because I can access it, I can read it, and to be fair, the grandparents don't get the communication diary before I have, and then Eleanor gets into bother not only from them but also from me. Simple, concise instructions. Please break things down. My mum is terrible for not having a clue what homework actually means. Hazel, I can't do this. Well, you're the grandparent. She needs help. Daily routine, structure, social stories, visual timetables, preparation is key. It's all the bread and butter of supporting ESD children in your mainstream school or elsewhere. Create a support group. That's what we've done. I've done it within Whitehill Learning Community when I was there. I've now, I'd love to get more involved with the Drumchapel Learning Community and do what we can there. And at all times, please have high expectations. Challenge your child to achieve whatever their potential is. We don't know, so we've got to give them that challenge and celebrate successes. If you've not had a chance to watch the Temple Grandin movie, I would suggest you do. If you get an opportunity, make sure you've got a big box of tissues with you. I gret the whole way through it, to put it mildly. It was amazing, and it really helped me kind of understand some of Eleanor's anxieties. Temple Grandin, there needs to be a lot more emphasis on what a child can do instead of what he cannot do. And that's the final picture I'm going to leave you with. My daughter, violin, my wedding. I couldn't have celebrated more, and I'm going to leave that.
Very emotional. That was fantastic. I do really love a throat.
No, I'm sorry, I get all kind of, every time I see it at the end of that, she's just
fantastic. Yeah. Very emotional. Sorry. Composed again. We have quite a few people on the tweet put through. We have 50 watching from around the world, so I have no idea who they are. There's a wee chat going on. You can over say hello if you want to, or come up and wave to the camera. If you want your face all over YouTube Live. If my face can survive it, anybody's can. What time we got it, Drew? We've got 10 to 7.
Yeah.
7 minutes?
2 hours 7, yeah.
And do remember, you have a challenge. What's your question?
What would you change?
One thing would you change?
Too many tabs. Come and help me, she said.
No. I said, who will help? You volunteered. It's different.
Yeah.
Who, at the moment, having seen the stress that Drew's going through, not me, Drew.
No, it's a real pleasure.
Would run a local. Oh, we got it.
Not him, though.
No. Do we have him?
Yes.
James, no, it's not God. He likes to think he is sometimes. For those of you who don't know, this is the journalist, media personality.
I feel I should just clarify.
Pain in the ass.
Yeah. I was going to do a very happy, light-hearted presentation, and then Ian made me do what I'm going to do here. So
he gave me a choice of three.
Yeah.
And I thought this was most interesting.
Ian chose this one, so I apologise in advance. So, James McInerney, I taught in high school, I was at Arden High for a few years and loved it, and now I teach at Glasgow Clyde College, where I still teach, still teach English, but also teach communication and teach some social science stuff as well on the different courses there. So, it's gone. So over the years, I developed a probably not undeserved reputation for covering lots and lots of horrible, depressing material all the time in my classes. But I stand by it because I think it's something that's actually immensely valuable, and it suits my subject, which is English, but also, as I say, the social science stuff that I do. So all I'm going to do today, quickly run through a few of the sorts of materials that I go through with quite a few of my classes, and then explain why I think this kind of stuff is so important, if Drew can actually get a PowerPoint working.
It's coming.
There we go. See, okay. So, for me, this stuff actually is extremely important. So, some of the things that I cover, for example, next slide. Some of the materials in my English class. So, War Photographer, poem by Caroline Duffy. That said, it focuses on the sort of suffering, the anguish of covering a war zone, but also the apathy of the Western world towards it. And the next slide, if you want, you know, is an example of one of the stanzas from it. The focus on the way the guy feels, but also on the impact on the children in the war zones that they cover. It's actually based on Don McCullen, the very famous war photographer who always hated being called a war photographer. The next slide, this is probably, it sounds horrendous, my favourite text to teach, which is Spiritual Damage by Fergal Keane. BBC journalist, you've maybe seen him covering things like Ukraine. And he was one of the only journalists in Rwanda at the time of the genocide, and he wrote this stunning, stunning book, and out of that comes Spiritual Damage. And on the next slide, he talks quite extensively about the impact it had on him as an individual. He talks about the ongoing effect of it all, not just on him, but on the world in general. And he asks some really quite difficult questions. This text here, I teach this in the college, and every single year when I teach this, there's always at least one student in the college in adult education who ends up staying behind afterwards. Last year I had somebody in tears, which I felt slightly bad about. But you know, not that bad. Not bad enough not to do it, but you know, slightly bad about. This is something that matters a lot to me, because there's an example at the end that will explain why. But extremely difficult to teach. Every single year I teach this, and every single year when I do it, I leave the teaching room and I walk back up to my office and I think, what the hell are you doing to yourself? Why do you do this every year? But it's, again, I'll explain why I think it's so important. And the next one is something I started teaching a couple of years ago, Refugee Mother and Child by Shingwa Achebe. Most of you probably don't, or maybe don't know it, maybe you do, about the famine that happened during the Nigerian Civil War, 1967, in Biafra. And it focuses on a single mother and her child and how they cope, or how she tries to cope with the inevitability of the knowledge that her child is going to die. And the whole poem's focused on that. It's, again, a really difficult thing to teach. And I taught it in secondary school as well, and it worked extremely well in the college, but always quite difficult because, for example, there are people like me who've got kids, and you know it's going to hit home. But this is the closing stanza of the poem, where it ends with a contrast between what this mother's going through and what, frankly, the rest of us go through in a world of quite extreme privilege. And the last example on there is this one, something very different. A Letter That Never Reached Russia is a short story that Nabokov wrote when he was an emigre in Berlin. And it's gorgeous because it's Nabokov, so it's all beautiful. But this particular one focuses on the isolation, the loss that he feels, having lost a life back in Russia. And the next, I say, the example here, there's an example at the end of it where he talks about being, the character, semi-autobiographical, talks about being in the Russian cemetery and seeing where a woman has hung herself on the grave of her dead husband. So again, horrific, but extremely powerful and tied to an unbelievably well-written bit of literature, which is beyond anything that I ever came anything close to in school. So beyond that, also non-fiction things as well, though. So one more. So I cover these kind of things as part of the communication courses that I do, where I'm always very keen to use very current material, but try and show students the reality of the world they actually live in, as opposed to picking things that are a little bit easier. That, by the way, if you're looking for a listening assessment, that's on TED. That's Janine DiGiovanni, an absolutely phenomenal war correspondent. That is a brilliant listening assessment. Next one as well. But it's not just things I've done in colleges, because even when I was in secondary schools, there were things I still believed this kind of stuff when I was teaching first and second years. So these kind of things here, a lot of, you know, I taught the Boy in the Striped Pyjamas, Private Peaceful, Copy for the Roads, maybe a bit, maybe not quite as well known, but Alec Laguma, set in South Africa during apartheid, but also something that can be done with first and second years, something that they can really engage with. Gorgeous description, very well written, but really, really powerful about something really difficult and really challenging. And the next bit. The reason I think it helps is because I think everybody would accept that you get the best out of students when you push them, when you really, really challenge them, when you make things hard for them. And it's easy to understand that making things difficult for them involves the work that they're doing. You know, making that essay that wee bit harder, making that reading assessment a wee bit trickier. But something that I think maybe is sometimes forgotten, but something I've always been quite focused on, is this idea of making the content and the context difficult as well. I think it's important to take students well beyond the limits of course specs and exam materials and all that kind of rubbish that we're all forced to deal with every single day, but nobody in here got into teaching to deal with an SQA course specification or an ASP, whatever the hell they call them these days. We get into it to care about our subjects, and for me, that's what this involves. And I suppose more importantly is why this kind of stuff matters. We live in a world where students have got unbelievable access to information, more than any of us at any generation at any age ever had, but there's no guarantee that they understand any of the sort of context that any better or even as well as some as previous generations. And I think that matters an awful lot, because there's a risk that we end up in a situation where, precisely because they've got such access to huge amounts of information, because they can access the entire world, they actually end up more remote from it. It's too much information. There's access to it becomes so simple. It's a click of a button, a flick of a smartphone. And I think that, for me, certainly when I get into teaching, the thing at the bottom there, teaching's a social justice profession, and if we're not going to do this, then who the hell does this kind of stuff? If you accept this stuff matters, that it matters that young people, whether they are, you know, in primary school, secondary school, maths students in college, that it's important to understand these things. Well, if you accept that, then for me, the logical next step is that it becomes our job to try and, wherever possible, find ways to incorporate this kind of material. And if I show you the next slide here, this is from the end of Spiritual Damage, and it's how it ends. And he's talking about journalism here, but the first time I ever read this was in my first year of teaching, and I thought immediately it applied to teaching as well. So that there, if we ignore evil, we become the authors of a guilty silence. And that's never ever left me. So that's the thing that I suppose drives a huge chunk of my teaching. And on the next slide, if you want any of this stuff, if you want any of this kind of stuff, email me or whatever, and I'll send you anything that I've got, and that's absolutely great.
Why did we get into teaching? He was going to do a very technical thing, how tech used to work with his class, and I just said, no, let's get a really great. But actually, somebody beat you to that, so that didn't even work.
It was easier that way.
For those online, we are going to take a 15-minute break. The stream will continue. You're going to take a 15-minute break because our food's just arrived. So we're going to take 50 minutes. So these six guys got together and said, what works for you? What was the original title? Scott Edubuggers. Oh my goodness. Edubloggers. Roundup.
Loser.
Meetup. And they changed the name. And they set some rules. The rules are, everybody should be prepared to speak. Actually, it was one of the first rules. 7 minutes, stand up, what works in your class? Tell the story. It was interpreted as being, tell people what tech you use. But actually, these were just people who were using tech at the time. It still should be about that. James is a really good example of something that's nothing to do with technology, but it's a really powerful. Hazel as well. Really powerful stories. And actually, they should inspire other people to say, you know, in this case, I'm looking at me and Drew going, if they could do it, anybody could do it. And that really should be the message.
Seriously, anybody could do this. Anybody could do this badly. It's a scoosh.
We can do it better than being him.
Yeah.
So, be inspired. Look out for what's happening. The biggest one in the world was, I think, 3,500 people in Sydney. That's not a teach me. That is not a teach me. The best inspiration I've seen around the world, if you picked up on Pub PD in Canada. Yeah, I like that one. Pub PD, but it's still 7 minutes. And I think the rest are going to drink the drinks at the same time. So it's inspired movements around the world. And if you want to learn a bit more, speak to Mags before she disappears from the airport, who flew in especially for this one. Okay?
Speaking of that, if you want to fly to Dublin, the best teacher meet in Ireland is on the 2nd of March, the night before the RCSE conference. So.
Teach meet in Dublin on the 2nd of March. Oh, I'm tempted. I'm going to check with Ryanair. So long as Ryanair doesn't cancel your flight. Okay. Do we get some 1 minute changes that haven't been tweeted out but people just want to say? One thing you would change?
Well,
Excellent. Take more risks. Who agrees with that? You can vote as many times as you want. That's about half the... Who else got to say one?
Oh, this is just a great...
Yeah, wait. Okay.
It's light to green.
Who else wants it? Somebody's scared to move their hair, though. Celebrate the success of pupils and teachers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interpret a wee bit there, yeah? Celebrate that. Who thinks that's a good thing?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, definitely. Any others?
Introduce a more kindergarten-style system in the early years.
Yes.
Kindergarten system in the early years in Scotland.
Yeah.
Adds up, who would think that's a really good idea? Cabinet Secretary better be watching this.
I've tweeted him. You'll have used me by now, but I've
For those who don't know, you should read James's columns, they're quite interesting.
Paul Smith, I'm just name dropping. Paul Smith and I agreed to more time for teachers to promote teacher agency.
More time for teachers to promote teacher agency.
Which I believe is what was proposed to Mr. Swinney today by the OECD group.
It was. So more time for teachers to actually engage in developing pedagogy and understanding. Who's for that?
Yay.
Okay. These are really good points. It's up to us to make them true. It's us, up to us. Actually, I should admit something here. I don't work in teaching anymore. I get kicked out. But I'm still registered with the GTC. So I think that counts. I went to the...
They don't supply you.
I'm a techie teacher, so I'm very expensive. So this is about teacher agency. It's a good word, that I like that word. It's about teacher. Now, I will actually say, Paul Smith, I don't think I've got to listen to, because I've had to follow him for the last year on social media as he did a trip round the world. There was a bad word there. It really sat right there. There was a bad word. But he's a fantastic trip. If you get a chance to speak to him, he'll bore you to... I mean, he'll really inspire you of taking time out and the difference that makes. I think it's a really interesting one. Sorry? Oh, it's a different Paul Smith. I was speaking to Paul Smith today. Follow the other Paul Smith, not that one. I'm sure he's good too.
The designer.
The designer? I got my shirt. Shall we go for a... What, 2 minutes? A 7 minute?
Yeah,
let's go for a 7 minute.
We're now on Ian's machine, so it might work. Look at the speed. Look at the speed.
Adam Black! Where's Adam? Yes! Look at the graveyard shift. After everything he's eaten, had a few drinks.
Adam, you sent me a Word document.
Yeah.
Do you want this up or...?
Yeah, pop up. It's no bother if it doesn't come up. I'm going to...
Don't forget, you're speaking to the camera as well. Okay.
Oh, you have little faith.
Yeah. Okay, I'm Adam Black. I work in a special needs establishment in Glasgow. For young children with MLD and ASD. It's a fantastic job. I'm really happy. I'm also a person with a disability of my own. I have a stammer and very quick background. I was told at secondary school careers advice, when I said I wanted to be a teacher, I was sort of pointed in another direction.
Oh.
And it's sort of, that's been my kick up the ass my whole life to do this. There's no cure for it, although I have I've been involved in the treatment process, self-acceptance, and talking about it, and that's the biggest key. So, a lot of people say to me, stammering in children, I don't get it, I don't know what to do, how do I deal with it, especially young children, especially teenagers. So a very quick whistle stop. There is no real definitive reason why people stammer. Children up to the age of 11 will dip in and out of fluency. Some will maintain it past 11, some won't. Some people will get rid of it by 11, and then at 16, going through puberty, will pick it up again. So there is no definitive reason. However, what we do know is it's a neurological condition. So if you have a stammer, you have one, you can't get rid of it. People say they're cured, they're not. They might just deal in it in different ways. It can be brought on in a more worse state by stress or anxiety. So around exam times, if you teach in secondary schools, or heaven forbid, these tests are coming out in primary schools, P1, P4, P7. Goodness, what's that going to do to the children? I don't know. But it can be a real damaging thing for children. They don't want to talk, they don't want to take part in talking, listening, they don't want to be involved in group projects, they don't want to answer in class. And if a lot of your assessment is done through observation, then those children don't have those opportunities. Thanks, we'll move up a bit. So when a child stammers, thanks Drew, aim to build their self-esteem so that if they do manage speaking, praise that, even if they're stammering very out of control. There's nothing wrong with stammering. It's not a bad thing. That's part of those people. And a lot of teachers will praise fluency. We shouldn't be praising fluency. We should be praising a child that's brave enough to talk in front of them. And that's the big thing that I'm saying to teachers, is just praise them for having a go. And then do you know what will happen? The bizarre thing is that through talking, fluency comes. So eventually they'll get there with it, and the classroom will become a comfort zone instead of this sort of chaotic zone that it can be. Give them time to finish, never interrupt or finish words. 9 times out of 10 it's the wrong word people finish, it frustrates me. And also it's not rude. I mean, I had a situation at parents' night where I was blocking on a word, and the parent, bless them, tried to pull me out of this at their perceived agony and said the wrong word, and it was a more favourable word for their child. So I said that is one word, but it's not the one I was going to use. So it does provide some funny moments. However, even if they're stammering and you're thinking, God, the bell's been ringing 2 minutes, please listen to them. Might seem obvious, but a lot of teachers don't do it. Thanks, Drew. We'll pop on. This is I presented at this for an hour and a half once. This is 7 minutes and squeezing. monitor for underachievement. So basically, I suppose what I'm trying to say there is, especially in the early years, I've taught in the infant department for the past 6-7 years, and a lot of my assessment is done through observing, it's done through talking, it's done through play. Children who stammer are naturally introverted, and it's through development that they become more of that sort of extrovert. So you need to track achievement when you see it. You need to, that moment that they are playing in the kitchen and they're talking about cooking and they're using that imaginative language, track it there and then. Don't wait for that language time when you're doing assessment or whatever. Track it there and then. Might seem obvious, but again, it's just not happening. Children who stammer are being affected. And again, the big thing is, just because a child doesn't appear able to talk, it doesn't mean that they don't understand. So comprehension can be done in many different ways, as we know. Picture-based things are really good. Animation's brilliant on the computer. So give these children opportunities. What is a stammer? Very, very quickly. Overt behaviour. So you might see the real sort of, the shaking, the contorting, the teeth chattering off each other. I broke a tooth when I was a teenager because my teeth were chattering so much trying to get a word out. So it can be quite severe like that. It can also dip in and dip out, just like I'm finding difficult right now, just on time. So overt behaviours can come and they can go. You might see you might think an angry teenager, if you teach in a secondary school, banging their feet or really aggressive trying to get that word out. That's fine. If they're not being aggressive towards you, then let them. That's the way they're managing at that moment. Let them do it. Goodness me, let them do it. The prolonging of sounds, if you're doing phonological awareness, then don't correct them. So if the word's cat and you're asking them to sound that word out, if they're going cat, they said all the sounds there, haven't they? Give them it, my goodness, give them it. Don't make them say it again, don't torture them. Right, move on please, Drew, thank you. So these are little things that are so important. Covert behaviours, these are the ones. Of every adult, 1 out of 100 will stammer. Of every teenager, 4 out of every 100 will stammer. And every child, 9 out of every 100 will stammer. So you're going to encounter these children. Many of them will be covert stammers, so they might avoid situations. They might go to the toilet just before it's their turn to read. They might pretend they've got a cold. They don't want to risk their voice. If young children, they might present behaviour which you might send them out the room. Okay, they might be really stabbed. I've heard of a child who stabbed another child in the hand with a pencil because their turn to read was coming up. That wasn't a bad child, that was a child managing a chaotic situation. So these are covert behaviours, which as teachers we need to be looking out for. Teasing and bullying, it happens. I mean, grew up in Glasgow, a concrete jungle where I lived. I've heard it all. Nothing bothers me now. However, I'd like to think we're moving in a more civilised direction. Teachers are a lot more skilled at identifying these children and certainly the behaviours. So, be open, be a teacher, just be yourselves, be there for them. And if you know of a child who's not in your class or a child in the school, then talk to them about it. Tell them that you're always there. You'd met somebody at Stammers and... anyway, I think my last message is if a child stutters, let them embrace their quirks. Okay?
Aren't we a lucky profession that we have people who are told, no, you're not going to do that, who push themselves on to become the best teacher they can be? And we all have our quirks. We all do. Let's embrace them.
Good for another set of money.
Yeah. Mandy Davidson.
Mandy is not here.
Oh!
I'll look for him.
Mandy was unable to make it.
That's a shame.
Her husband's been taking him.
Oh. Thoughts are with you, Mandy. Lena.
Yay! It's not gin.
Why what?
It's not gin. I've got to drive back to our garden with you in a minute.
Right.
So, my talk is on why we need to teach about mental health. I talk quite a lot. I've got a sore throat. I've only got 7 minutes. So, I'm going to talk about why I believe we should teach about mental health in schools. Some people like to argue that mental health education should be the remit of parents or health professionals or somebody that's an expert. And I would like to argue differently. I had a conversation with one of the ladies on one of the stands who told me how great it is because these people come in and do it and the kids don't know them and it's much better. And I would disagree with that. I'm not very good at talking concisely, but I'm going to do so. If you're interested in hearing a bit more, I write quite a lot about mental health issues. I write as Lena Bellina, and I have a blog on WordPress. So if you're interested, you can look at maybe some other things. So this is why, is that slide two? This is why we need to talk about mental health. This was in the news this morning. So I don't disagree with reports like this if they are evidence-based, if they help raise awareness that we need to talk and teach about mental health. But I also think we need to be clear what we're talking about. Teenagers have always suffered from emotional difficulty. It is part of being an adolescent. And it's really important, I think, that we acknowledge and talk about this as teachers and as parents. We also need to ensure that we don't create a crisis of mental illness or teenage depression when, by doing so, sometimes we're turning normal emotional experience into something pathological. Oh, no. Sorry, it's not ready for him yet. But anyway, and there's a connection here because someone put up a slide with Shakespeare on it. So here's the connection to that. In perhaps the greatest and most popular study of teenagers ever, Shakespeare presents adolescence in all its terrible, fraught, emotional beauty. Teenage suicide is not new. Look at Romeo and Juliet. Slide three. We also need to teach about mental health because of this link with James's talk, I think. The world is confusing. The world is hard to understand at the moment. And that's not just for children, that's for all of us. We need to talk about these things. We need to make sense of the bad things that happen in the world. That may not be him. You might think differently. But there are bad things happening. But mental health is about talking and understanding some of those things. But I've tried the next slide. I've tried to sort of summarise. These are the things I think are really important as to why we need to talk and teach about mental health in schools. Because there's still too much stigma surrounding mental health. All sorts of surveys have been done, but I did a Twitter poll a while back amongst teachers, and teachers don't feel they could admit to mental health issues. They feel they might lose their job, they feel they might not get a job, not be promoted. That's a big issue. We are role models, and we are turnaround adults in the lives of young people. When we decided to work with young people, we took on that responsibility of being role models, and we can't really pretend that we're not. By talking and teaching, we can help to challenge stigma, and children die when we don't talk and teach about mental health. I work in a school where we lost 2 children to suicide last year, and that is a hard place to be, and that is why we need to talk about mental health and teach about it. Okay. I really like this definition by the World Health Organization about mental health. Mental health is defined as a state of well-being in which every individual realizes his or her own potential, can cope with the normal stresses of life, can work productively and fruitfully, and is able to make a contribution to his or her community. That, to me, is about the broad aims of education. So mental health is really about our broad aims for education. And if we flip to the next slide, now there's been a lot of contention over these, and people say, oh, well, they've gone, or they're not, or they actually, I wouldn't be a teacher in Scotland if this wasn't at the heart of what we do. And that chimes so much with that World Health Organization definition of what being mentally healthy is. So why the stigma? Why is there a stigma around talking about and teaching mental health? If we go back to the previous one, so the same slide again. No, next slide is the same one again. Much as I love this, I've got a little bit of an issue, and I'd just like to mention that. The word normal. When we talk about mental health, we need to remember there is no sense of normal. Normal stresses of life. My normal are not your normal. My normal are not your lovely daughter's normal. Okay, we all have normal, different stresses. So normal stress, you know, we're all different. We all have different mental health. When I tell you what I do to keep healthy, you'd probably think, that's just weird. But it's my normal and my mental health. And so I think that's an important thing that we remember. The word normal is not a particularly helpful one. Okay, next slide, please. Thank you. Oh, look, that's what I just said. There's no such thing as normal. My trauma stress may not be yours. Okay, so we talk about ACEs a lot, and there are lists of ACEs, but, you know, someone might experience something and move on from it. Okay, particularly interested in sexual abuse. So some people seem to be able to come back from that, and for other people, it's there, and it's there forever. So I think that's one of these ACEs where, you know, things don't affect us all in the same way. So one man's ACE is another man's not, if that makes sense. Right, where to start? I would just start having conversations. I would use that definition, the World Health Organization definition, get pupils to say what they think. You know, do you see yourself as mentally healthy, if that's the definition? You know, are you able to do these things? But just start. I had a sort of silver lining on a cloud thing. I'm having to teach quite a lot of PE at the moment because I don't have a PE teacher in my school. I'm a kind of head teacher, and I've got a staffing issue, so I'm teaching a lot of classes for a lot of things that I'm really enjoying doing. So health and well-being. So we're doing mental health. We're talking about the teenage brain, but we're talking about mental health, and it's great. I've just launched into it. Fantastic resources out there. The Charlie Waller Memorial Trust. If you have a look at them, some fantastic things on there. There's my typo. Living Life to the Full. They have a great website. They have a great booklet called 10 Things You Can Do to Start Feeling Happier Straight Away. Kind of mindfulness type stuff, but it's brilliant. Any teenage brain resources? I've got some really good ones, which I'm happy to share if people want to get in touch. I've shared it with a few people. Again, it's about that thing of when you're a teenager. We were just talking about this in the food break. It's quite hard to know whether you're really, you know, depressed or anxious, and actually you're just adolescent, and that's fine. Okay, so some of that's really useful. I think we're nearly there. Yes. Hang on. Yep. To return the idea of role models. Okay, we are role models, but we also need to role model our own vulnerability as well as our strengths. I think it's important that we're not these shiny people that are fantastic at everything. We also have to show, someone mentioned, learning from our mistakes, saying when we've had difficulties. At the moment, my dad's got cancer. The pupils in my school know that. They know I'm going through a hard time, but they know I'm going to get over it, and I'm going to be fine. Okay? I didn't realise this was going to be on video, but what I also wouldn't tell them, I've told them a little bit about how when I was in my sort of earlier university years, I got very stressed and anxious about things, and I didn't handle it very well. They do know it was a bit more serious than that. I went through a really difficult time. I had a pretty grim time when I was at university, but I'm fine. I'm a head No, not an acting head teacher of a secondary school. I'm fine, and that's the role model I need to be. Not somebody that pretends that we don't all have difficult times. So here's a wee bit just to finish. We need to be resilient and trustworthy role models who help children understand that life is both up and down. We need to accept that our job as adults is to be honest with children and to help them negotiate the complexity ahead. It's our job to develop in each child the skill to know and understand himself, the tools to express herself, and the strategies to meet challenges along the way. Because there is Donald Trump. And it is our job to talk openly and honestly so that if and when bad things happen, they know to talk about them so they don't become a life-stealing force. Thanks very much.
We all have quirks. Really, we all have quirks. We've got to go for a...
2 minutes.
2 minutes, please feel comfortable. You've not prepared yourself to go drinks and food. It's relaxed. It's not. We haven't been recorded on Sirius as being attended. Okay? So...
Okay.
Can I just check something before you begin? Yeah. I won't add it to your time, but has anybody else travelled further than Max to get here today?
Tony, he lives 5 miles out the road from me.
Beyond!
Actually, he came Ireland via, no, New Zealand via Ireland.
That's
17 years ago.
Alright, okay, so I thought you meant tonight. That's so funny. So you're 5 miles beyond.
Okay, before I even start, I'd say the first rule of being at a Teach Meet is talk about Teach Meet. Go back to school and tell people about it and drag them to the next one. Because in 2008, my friend John Heffernan from Mayo dragged me to one over in the Armadillo over there, or over at the festival. And who would have thought 9 years later, I'm actually studying all of you. I decided that one of us has to document all
John
this stuff.
John, your fly is open.
Oh, John, go away. So it's great to have staff. Could you please put on the next slide? Thank you very much. So I've 1 year into the PhD. So what I did all winter I call them procrastinations. All this academicology stuff is kind of getting to my head. So I kind of took a deep dive into everything I could find anywhere about Teach Meet. So I do know where a lot of you live, and I do know some strange things. And one of the things I loved doing was building a ticky-tocky timeline of Teach Meet from the day him and the other two dudes had their little witch's coven round the pint of Guinness when we'll read 3 Meet again. So I thought that was lovely. I found lovely, lovely things about ourselves and the way we work. I know Drew hates them, but I did have to deep dive into the elements of what starts to make a teachmate ticky-tocky, and so I do have a periodic table, whether he likes it or not. You don't have to look at it. So all these kind of quirky things that make you feel like you're doing work when you're not doing it, but actually they're quite useful, and I have a link to where you can find them later on. Next slide, please, because I am a nano presentation, and I do have to remember things. Oh my gosh, I know where all of you live, I know where you teach, I know where you go to teach meets. And there's an incredible, if you haven't used Google Fusion Maps, go and use it. So it's spreadsheets with geotagging. So we were able to scrape from the internet every teach meet we could find in the UK or Ireland between January and June in 2016. You lot, well, not so much you, is down the other side of the border, tends to be after school, maybe on a Thursday afternoon, a cup of tea and a slice of cake, and a teach meet. Still here, and in Ireland, it's after work. A bottle of wine, whatever it might be. Or in Ireland, it tends to be maybe a Friday night before. It's an unconference Friday night. So very, very interesting stuff coming out of this. I love it. Absolutely. Google Fusion Maps is my new favourite thing. Next one. Thank you, dearest. Look at the language that's building around it. So now I start to get a little bit academic and start to look at things. And the one we mentioned earlier on, agency. This is about us doing stuff about us, with us, for us. So it's about as democratic, grassroots, tribal, you mentioned the tribe earlier on, as you can get. I think one of the first things that really drew my attention to Teach Meet was the word nano-presentation. I'm a scientist, I love nanoscience, but nano presentation. Get up, speak up, shut up. you know, whatever. So this will be my literature review and all of that. We shall build it into something useful eventually. But I love the law of 2 feet. You're at a teach meet and you're uninterested. Well, go to the bar with somebody else and have a pint and come back when the good stuff comes on, whatever it might be. And at one stage early in the days, Ian Usher, I think it was talking about Winer's Law, and not in Winer's Law, Winer's Law, as in, no matter what you go to, the expertise down here gathered together is way ahead of the expertise on the stage of whatever you're going to. So let's have a little bit more of that. And I think that might be it, Drew. And oh yeah, had this kind of Carrie Bradshaw moment a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, as in my head kind of went, is TeachMeet like the desire line of, we call it CPD, you do call it CPD, we all refer to it as CPD. I'm still not sure it actually ticks all the boxes. I think it's more than that, or wider, broader, deeper. But is it, I love desire lines, I mean, I follow them around the world, take pictures of them, but is that what we're doing? So that's my Carrie Bradshaw moment, is TeachMeet the desire line of professional development. And shin shin, as we say in Ireland. If you want to read or see more, what I've done is you can QR code it there, or you can visit me little bloggy poo here. Basically, when I do something, I shove it on the blog. There's nothing academic there. Supervisors, please avert your ears. I have the two best supervisors in the universe, Richard Millwood and Keith Johnson, and I drive the two of them batty, I'd say, but I love them, absolutely love them. So everything I'm finding so far is here, and you won't see me for a while because now I have to go into a retreat and actually read and write properly about you all. I think I'm the only person in the world. I actually broke those unbreakable titanium frames this evening on the way, so if you want one, take it from wherever. I'll leave them there.
Yeah, that's great.
Or I'll pass them out.
And you'll notice that nobody left to go get another drink while she was speaking.
For another 7 minutes?
I think another 7 minutes. Let's get up to that time. Oh dear. Oh dear.
It's not here.
Did I everything? did we cut the stream at this point?
No.
Please welcome Paul Cochran.
I got away with you now. Anyway. So, I make it a rule in life not to meet my heroes in case they ever disappoint, whether it's footballers or rock stars. But tonight, I've not met yet Lena, but I've read a lot, and the most common words I write down underneath Lena's blog is "preach, sister." Right? The most, and Drew's very similar. Drew comes out with a lot of sense, and it's "preach, brother." Or maybe the spelling's a wee bit wrong, the spell check, I don't know. So anyway, am I ready? I am a magpie. I steal things left, right and centre because I'm not a researcher, I'm just an ordinary teacher. In fact, I applied for the SLF and they left a wee bit, said, what is your role in a school? And I said, I kicked other, so that I didn't have to teach them. And I put frontline educator. You know? And I really wanted to go around like that. Yeah, that's what I'm, pal. Mr. Swinney, look at that. Anyway, so, but I had a wee delve into... that's a fantastic site, see if you press on. I can't say it interleaving space practice, retrieval practice. I find very often these things start to merge together, and that's what I've tried to do in a baby steps phenomenon at Port Glasgow High School. Just go for it, quick in the drew, that's what you say. So it's not my work. Thank you! Right, that's what I'm
learning.
Go back just a wee bit to it. Just a wee bit.
It was saving them up.
Go back to 2017, for God's sake. I'll do it if you want.
round of applause.
I'm not trying to intimidate, this is not my work, but a couple of these documents or sources, like Learning Scientists, a fantastic site, I cannot recommend it highly enough. The Dunlosky Student Toolbox, Education Endowment, it's a wee bit more difficult, but it's a wee bit more academic with a wee bit of provenance, like you will accelerate your learning by 8 months sometime. This is September. This is summer holidays. Let's go. The one which really got me was the Deans for Impact. It's a meta study. It takes all the research and pulled it. There's a couple of head teachers in America just get angry with all the rubbish that was going in schools and said, let's analyse everything, pull it together, and here's what you think. And they change. They change. They don't leave it the same all the time. They don't profess to be correct all the time, but they do change. Absolutely fantastic. Sutton Trust the same as well. For example, that's from a neuroscientist blog, which EEF have given out, and I decided to copy paste the wrong thing, probably. Anyway, but when I looked at that, it was the homework which grabbed me, because from talking about baby steps, teachers are sick and tired of being, you know, having teacher agency and rewriting the curriculum over and over again. So I thought, let's just pull back. There's enough changes going on. Can we get some of the supportive mechanisms, something which seems to be very, you know, reasonably positive for a low cost? Managers seem to like that, which is to look at secondary, particularly in secondary. So I've looked at spaced practice. That's from ACE, this test with the learning scientists, where we try to get across the idea of not sitting down and just blasting through a day at a time. My own boss, a great guy, he's a great big guy. I can't do that for him. I've got to sit for a whole day and study. Imagine it was better, I would say to him. Just try the other thing. So he's not tried it yet, but we're working on him. Then what you try to do is, with a view to, and this, by the way, this ties in with some of the changes going on in BGE and the Nationals, I hope. You try to have wee built-in programmes where you review previous work, and I'll show you what I've tried to do for my kids so that this is built in and they can't avoid it. That's just some of the research. This is going to be available. I'm not going to quit like success. They broke it, yes! What have I done, Drew?
I don't know. You broke it.
It's the escape button. I pressed it thinking I'd be zoomed out somewhere else and be safe.
Listen, I've been doing that all day, but it's not working.
What does the B button do? Does it happen? So, a good
screen.
Interleaving is a wee bit more difficult, but I'm going to try to show you a way to hopefully get around that, where they suggest either taking your subject and do wee bits of each topic at a time, as opposed to just let's do the drudge. They also suggest perhaps doing different subjects within a very small, 20 minutes of chemistry, 20 minutes of English, 20 minutes of something else, right? But a lot of people are quite resistant to that. Anyway, that's from the Chief Inspector, I believe, and I won't get you to read through it, but I actually think there's a real opportunity here, because if you look at it carefully, they don't want you to go through all the benchmarks, particularly in BGE, and assess everyone. Let's kind of arrange the assessment. Let's machine gun them with questions, right? They want you to stick to broader things, and I think that's an opportunity. It's possibly a chance in my subject for a deeper learning going on, less emphasis on a thing I hate, which is the key areas, this silo approach of, yes, you are now one, yes, you are now one, yes, you are. And they get to the end, but here's your course exam. Oh, sugar. How do I do that and integrate it all? And I think there's a real opportunity, particularly get rid of the UASPs, kind of, for the Nationals. That's a bit of evidence, and you notice that spaced learning comes out very, very high in terms of utility. So does interleaving, it's medium, and testing, short tests, short quizzes, day in, day out, weekly quizzes, weekly tests. I've got a wee girl just now who's extremely anxious, and I'm now giving her a wee test every week, and she's kind of going, oh, no, another test, here we go. Then she comes to the class, and it took her a couple of months, and it's like, oh, wait a minute, I don't have the same fear. Oh, hey, you tricked me. What's the anger instead of anxiety? But anyway, here's what I've done. Start small, BGE. I extracted some material from Chris Hilliard and Tom Gilbertson. It's on the Learning Scientist site from Harewood Academy. There's a wee section from levels 3 and 4 in sciences. There's that underpinning skills, inquiry analysis, blah-de-da-de-da-de-da. And I come up with this sort of wee scheme. There's a topic. Go back to level 2, give them some revision or some homework from their homework, from their primary school. This shows them there's a link to previous learning, which is quite powerful. Then do some material on the actual topic, then do some material on the topic and some of the skills, then do some of the material. There's not much variety there. Come to the second topic, link back to something they did in primary school for the first homework. Oh, I'm quite good at this, I remember this. Something on this on a previous topic, something on the actual topic. You can read. So what we're trying to do is build in this idea of interleaving, a wee bit of retrieval practice, and perhaps a wee bit of space practice. I'm not sure I've got that right yet. That's a proposal in our school, and my own wee boss is all for it, and it's probably going to happen next year. I think he's all for it because I've been doing it. That's a different story. Secondary school, again, start small. I'm going to look at the homework, not the course design. I mean, particularly if you're a biology teacher just now, that would possibly get you going to Lena's door for some advice on mental health. And there's my homeworks I've done this year. What a guy. I stole them from somewhere and I rebadged them, but I told them, I stole your stuff and rebadged it. And the exercise here looks quite straightforward, but we actually click into it. I've got material on this, but actually it's all about the previous topic. And when you come down here, it goes all the way through it. There's like a homework on the actual topic, a homework and previous stuff mixed up, actual topic, previous stuff all mixed up. And it's just making them, in fact, some of the kids had a great experience. I keep telling the story. Wee boy in first year last year, we're doing photosynthesis. And our school bizarrely seems to want kids in first year to learn the photosynthesis equation. And I get a card, and I got the kids to self-test and do wee revision cards and ask each other's questions. I could just hear this wee guy, James, I'll call him. It's not you, James, don't worry. And he was sitting there. Hey, James, I'm going to ask you a question. What is the photosynthesis equation? And he went, oh, come on, ask me something I don't know. And I thought that was the point. No, I've learned that. That's embedded in my head. Leave me. Ask me something I don't know so I can learn that. That was a wee first year, and I found that really, really powerful. Here's the people. Great sight. Fantastic ideas. Great graphics. So more resources. There's been a match there all the time. That's representing my baby steps because that's what a guy made from matchsticks. It's totally relevant to the talk, but it's absolutely brilliant. I just wanted to finish with Notre Dame Cathedral in matchsticks. But what you notice is they've removed the phosphorus chemicals, a bit of chemistry now, in case the priest goes in the strike and it goes on fire. But anyway, thank you very much, folks.
Paul, please don't take this personally, but 5 seconds until you started talking, the phone went down and the feed went down. But we'll get it back up. That's okay. And just to link into that, there's a great example of how to convince a senior leader by Adobe. I don't know if you're aware of this, the Adobe Kickbox. And they say, how do you remove the hippo from the room? Do you know what a hippo is? The highest paid person's opinion. How many hippos do we have in education?
So it's a
streamer. No. How many hippos do we have in education who we have to convince all the way up the chain that actually what we're doing is making a difference? And what Adobe have done is they've said, come with evidence. Does it work? What Hector was you saying, I went to my boss, but I'd be doing it. So how do we get the hippo out of the room so that we know, listen, we've been doing this. This is what's happened. This is the outcome. It's not your opinion anymore. These are the things that are happening. So, shall we go for a... What have we got left? What have we got left?
Is anybody's guess what's going to happen now? Is anybody
wondering
if they've been off eBay?
It's okay. I've been on Drew's computer in the last 10 minutes on Twitter. Who should see the things he's saying? Oh!
Who wants to hear him?
No, actually, I think we should just go straight to just remove me, and if there's time, we'll do it. Peter Smith!
Yay! Definitely him.
Yes, there we go.
Hello. Well, you've got one of them, right? Okay, so my name is Peter Smith. I come from Wallace High School in Stirling. Some of you may know the school. It's a great school, lots of things happening. We have a very interesting mix. We have a population of about 950 students, broadly one-third in deciles 1 and 2, one-third in the middle, and one-third at the top. And to try and make a comprehensive school, of course, with lots of young people doing lots of great things, you need a combined approach. So what we do is we look at employability, which is my focus here, and we look at it like Doctor Who. So I'm not a Doctor Who fan myself, but I like this picture, and to me this is what employability is about, and it's a conundrum. So when you look at the picture and you start to think what you see, inevitably there are some changes. So please tweet me relentlessly. All this is on the website that I've put together, so you don't have to copy anything down if you don't wish to. But please, there's my name and there's hashtag. So Peter_N. Okay. Right, so here we go. It's all about life-changing journeys. It's all about familiar versus unfamiliar. It's all about who knows best. Is it us, them, or somebody else? And the idea that the present influences the future, and the future influences the present. And so far, so good. Young people, in my experience, having done this for about 9 years now, and having looked at lots of different things across different education systems, would seem to find this difficult. Yeah, and this is students from... the most disadvantaged backgrounds and some from the most advantaged. So here's the problem. This is the problem I have a problem with. It's a problem I've had since I was asked this question relentlessly as a child. The classic question, what do you want to be when you grow up? Who's been asked that? Hands up. Yay. Right. How do you feel when you get asked that question as a 14-year-old child?
Small.
Yeah. Small, insignificant. You have some ideas, but you don't know how to share what it is. And sometimes you just don't know what you want to say. But you want to do something. Of course you do. And this is my take on why this is a problem. So, for example, you don't know what jobs there are. You know that the idea of working is good, and that's something that people do, but you don't understand where you fit into that, because maybe your parents don't have one, or maybe they do, but it's not what you want to do. Maybe you don't know what you're good at. You like lots of different things, but you're not really sure, and how do you get to the stage? Maybe you've got loads of choices, but which one is it that you actually want, so you can't decide. And the classic thing, you're young, you're 14, let's think about it tomorrow, okay? So if you rephrase the question, how about this? As opposed to saying, what do you want to be when you grow up and getting all the awkward answers, why not say, how can what you do now help you in the future? And that's really where I come in, and I've undertaken a master's. John was on my course, and we supported each other very well. Thank you, John. But this is where my interest lay, because I think all good teaching and what we've seen tonight in so many different ways comes back to the idea of a problem. People have issues with things, and you can either sit and moan and complain, or you can do something about it, as we have just now. So I'm going to keep it fairly brief. There's loads of policy. I'm not going to bore you with all that. But this is where I take from it. So in my work, I have young people across the school. I work with the council. I have specific employability classes. I teach from S1 up to S6 and everything in between. There's your kind of traditional problem. What do you like doing? Like singing and dancing, great, be an actor. Okay, but that's really just a hobby.
Can I just cut across here, guys?
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy, for a plate, so. Thank you, sorry.
What happens if you start to take the skills? So the same skills, body language into retail, childcare, police, all these kind of things. And again, this is some things that many of us will take for granted, but young people don't see this. And I'm going to show you a little bit of some information. So this is really where it comes down to. Four ideas: subject, skills, self, and strategy. And again, it's all online, so I'm not going to patronise and read it all back to you, but you can have a look should you wish. But I'd encourage you to go and have a look, because there's lots of things in there. And this is what we did. We came up with a range of different ideas. Whoops, there it is, that poster. Can you pop that back up? The poster wasn't blank. I don't know where the poster's gone, but anyway. So the poster's there, not just a piece of blank. We did a study. I had 70 young people, this is about 2 years ago now, across the senior phase, range of different classrooms, range of different teachers. How do you get the employability skills out of the learning? And critically, how do you know what they actually mean? So saying, that's a great example of communication means nothing if a young person doesn't understand why communication matters now and critically in their futures. Okay? So focus groups, teacher voice, journals. We had some of the most qualified staff in the school had a real go at this, found it tricky. And to my mind, that was okay. And we were okay with that because we looked at some ideas. If you ever fancied a master's, you never tried one, make sure you have a spare room with lots of walls, because that's the evidence still there today. Yeah, the blue tack's never coming off. And it was about triangulation, because one of the things that I found very difficult in any kind of social science research is how do you find the gaps? How do you see where the links are? How do you take one idea and see, does that replicate? How would you know? So here are some examples. Take some. Right, okay. So, big question. These are higher candidates. Person at the bottom went on to get an A at higher. How can this subject help you when it comes to getting a job? Question mark. No idea. Don't know. Just here. Why? If it's geography related, some people started to get it. The most common answer for why would you do this subject is to go and teach it, because they see us as the embodiment of everything that happens in that subject, and that's great. However, there are so many other things that need to be made available. There you go. Skills. Team working. Why does it matter? Well, helping each other get the answers. How would that make a difference in the future? Helping people in the workplace. Again, just changing a few words and that's okay. But of course, it's not okay, because you need to start looking at things. Some people got a bit more detail. And this is really where it comes back to the idea of discussing, discovering, decoding and developing. And if you really want to have a headache, go and look at that. And this is where it all comes to. It's based on a graduate model, but it's been redefined. It's been analysed. And what it starts to do, and again, the website has all the information. I'm not boring you with it all just now. Go and have a look. See what it means to you. Have a chat with your colleagues and say, OK, we do lots of great stuff. We had a conversation at dinner time. We all work fantastically hard. There's no doubt that all of us are doing the absolute best that we possibly can for our young people. So why does it still not make every difference it can? Is it because we're not working hard? Not at all. It's because the young person needs that extra support, partly from us, to really see the difference between what we do in a classroom and what happens in the world of work. And if I could give you one piece of advice, it's simply to engage them as best you can, as you continue to do, to see the relevance beyond that classroom door and beyond the bell. Thank you very much. Any details, contacts there, DYW, anything in between, tweet me, email me.
So I've managed to kill my phone. Thank you very much, Peter. I managed to kill my phone, so the feed's gone down, but it's still being recorded, so we can still have that, so that's good. I actually think it was Paul who killed it, but that's my personal opinion. What have we got left?
We've got John Heffernan's video, except we don't really have any audio, so it would be nice to look at. But
we'll share that out on the Twitter. John Heffernan is who Mags was talking about. He's actually working and teaching in Charlottesville. If you're aware of what Charlottesville is, or how it's been quite famous in the last few weeks, he wrote a very, very good article in the Independent Dublin newspaper, the Independent in Ireland, which I highly recommend. We will tweet that out so you can watch it on your own. So it's 2.5 minutes of his personal experience and the impact that had in his school. So he's a very, very good guy. So we have one left, I understand. Is that right, Drew?
Yeah, but I need. I need to get in the glow to get this presentation.
Cause the trouble.
Despite the technical problems, there is a link on the teachme.scot website for everything that we've done tonight, including the name pickers and stuff. But what I'll do is I'll tidy it up and I will try to accumulate all of the presentations in some usable form and, with everybody's permission, just share them through a link on that page. If anybody doesn't want me to do that, just let me know. And if anybody wants anything, my contact details are there for Twitter and other stuff. So I drop us a line in.
This is the last talk of the night. So this is the last talk of the night. So this is the culmination. But what I would do want to say before we finish, apart from finish the food and the drink, please, is I thank you. I don't want to wrap that up at the end. I want to do this, finish on a high. Good pressure. Finish on a high. But your role in this is to go out and try and find other teach meets around the country or set them up. Do them. 6 people in a pub started this. The idea of pub PD, I don't know why, but it appeals. It appeals. Pub PD kind of appeals. It's not about 2,500-3,000 people in an arena in Sydney going woo 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 woo. We're listening to keynotes. It's about communication. It's about sharing. So that's what your responsibility is. I want you to take that on. So that's the goodbye. I will say a final goodbye before we finish. Please finish off the wine, do the drink, and straight in.
Hi, my name's Kevin Dean from Brace High School in Falkirk. I'm passionate about the outdoors, so any chance I can get to spread the word about it, I come along to events like this. Tomorrow I'm actually going in a gorge, so it'd probably be better if I came in my wetsuit because this is a bit uncomfortable for me. Can you move that on, please? So we set up an S1 outdoor education programme in Brace High School. There's a lot of aims here which I won't go through in great detail, but really it's about getting kids outdoors and challenging them with new experiences. Can you move that on as well? Many of the children that we've got a targeted approach with vulnerable learners. Whole range of barriers, from poverty to ASD to learning and social and emotional issues. But I would say many of the children we take out haven't actually been outdoors in any capacity before, so it's a big challenge from them. They learn so much from it. So it is about measuring success, but it's also about having an experience. So we collect a lot of data. And through year one here, we've shown that the children have all improved their health and well-being. We've hit all the benchmarks. They've enjoyed themselves. They've played outdoors, which children don't do nowadays. And also, they're more active in lessons. That's feedback from staff and parents and different things. Our referrals in the school have gone down for these particular children, so they're more engaged, and their families are saying that they're more positive about their future learning. We wanted to be sustainable in the future, so we're not just leaving them after year one, we're going to year two, so they're all going to join an adventure club that we're setting up in the school, and I'm a Duke of Edinburgh instructor, and I'm going to take them all onto the programme in year three. So it's about taking the whole process through, not just from S1, but all the way through their learning journey. And I'm going into the Gorge tomorrow, and last time we were out, we made a video. Hopefully it'll work.
The video didn't work at the last
event.
Oh, who said that?
Have you got
it on memory? We'll do that. So, I want to think of the range of things that have come up tonight from outdoor learning. Identify that. And actually, you should look at Isla High School's Adventure Learning School. Very good. What do you take away? Who you going to speak to? Who you going to do? What your actions, but I'm also looking for some people to take on next year's Scottish Learning Festival and have it a bit better organised, a bit better planned. We've shown how it should be done tonight, but actually you've got an opportunity. I know Katie's already volunteered. Have you, Katie?
Yep.
She didn't know that, but she has. She was very keen. The volume rockers on the top. The volume rock is right at the top of the device.
Available tomorrow.
Is there any tech involved? Tell me there.
Yes, the GoPro.
Forget it.
That's fantastic. Thank you very, very much. And good night. State of conversations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.